Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls. Across the United States and Canada, that number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour and plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you have a question about a scripture passage, maybe there's something you heard in church recently or in a Bible study or talking with a friend at a coffee shop, whatever it might be, let's make it a conversation right now, 877-655-6755. If you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got a new question tonight, well, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number with open lines, 877-655-6755. Well, a quick announcement. We've got this new book that is just released. It came out just a few days ago. Maybe you've already heard about it. It's topping the charts. It's number one on Amazon in a number of categories, including a New Testament and other categories on Amazon pertaining to Christian living. And my, we are excited. Our team is jazzed. We've been working on this for 2 years, and it is now released. This book, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. We encourage you to get your copy today. You know what it's about? Well, it's about debunking all those myths out there concerning what God thinks of us and our identity in Christ and our forgiveness. There are a lot of mixed messages out there, telling us 1 minute we're totally forgiven for our sins, and the next minute we're going to be judged for our sins. Telling us 1 minute he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and the next minute, well, he might say, depart from me, I never knew you. He might erase you from the book of life. He might spew you out of his mouth. So many Christians living in fear because of a lack of understanding, a solid grounding, a firm foundation in the love and grace of God. So Twisted Scripture is designed to help you get that firm foundation and be encouraged. You can get your copy of Twisted Scripture on Amazon.com. All right, let's start out tonight in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we'll talk with Bob. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I had a question about from the pulpit. I hear that by your stripes we are healed. Yes. And then also, on the other hand, do we have the mind of Christ? Okay. We have to pray for that.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Let's talk about that, Bob. Well, first of all, you know, we'll take them in reverse order here. Do we have the mind of Christ? The answer is yes, and that mind of Christ is found in Christ, and we possess Christ. He lives in us. So when Paul tells these Greeks, you know, who knows the mind of the Lord? Who can figure out the Lord's ways? Who thinks like God does? Well, nobody. But then he says, but we have the mind of Christ. That's referring to the presence of Christ, the counsel of Christ, the Holy Spirit living in us, him allowing us to participate in God thoughts. What does that mean? Well, thoughts of forgiveness rather than resentment, thoughts of love rather than bitterness, thoughts that are godly thoughts because they're from God. And where does God live? Well, if we're in Christ, Christ is in us. And so God lives within. We will come and make our abode in him, the Trinity says. Whoever believes, we will come, we plural, will come and live in him, making our abode in him. So we become the house of God. We're literally the church. We're the holy of holies, the dwelling place of God himself. And so The answer to your question is that yes, a resounding yes, we have the mind of Christ because we have Christ himself living in us. Now, regarding your second question, my friend, I mean, you look in Peter, as Peter quotes from Isaiah, he says, by his stripes or by his wounds, you are healed. What is this referring to? Well, many people out there are saying that, you're guaranteed physical healing if you're a Christian, because Jesus died for your sins and by his stripes you are healed. And so therefore you are guaranteed healing from that cancer. You're guaranteed healing from the flu, healing from that chest cold. And all you have to do is name it or claim it or gab it and grab it. Or, you know, here's another twist you hear. You're already healed. Yeah, that's it. You're already healed. You just don't realize it. And they say, I mean, come on, it's a finished work. It's the finished work of Christ. You're already physically healed, just like you're already forgiven, just like you're already righteous. You're already physically healed. There's only one problem with that, Bob. It's just not true. And so we look at this passage and see what he's talking about. The context here, it's healing from our sins. And that's what Peter means, and that's what Isaiah meant. It's absolutely true that Jesus fulfilled this and quoted Isaiah, but he fulfilled that prophecy. Jesus did himself. And so as far as our healing and the way that Peter uses it in his second chapter here, what we find is this, that he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. So we were straying like sheep. We came to this guardian, this shepherd, this guardian of our souls, and we died to sin. He bore our sins on the cross. This is a spiritual healing, not a physical one. And so that is what we need to know about this passage, Bob, because quite candidly, people are out there twisting the scriptures on this, promising Christians guaranteed health and guaranteed wealth because by his stripes we are healed. And that is a complete misquote or misuse of this passage, taking it out of context. It's about spiritual healing, and that indeed is what we have in Jesus Christ. Bob, thanks for your questions tonight. I hope that's an encouragement to you. Reach out to us again anytime. All right, let's go to Vancouver now, and we'll talk with Andrew. Hey, Andrew, what's on your heart tonight?
Hi, how are you, Andrew? Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. One is, I was listening to a pastor, and he said there's different levels of sin. Uh-huh. My number two question is, a believer goes to church every day on a Sunday and Monday commit adultery. Explain that to me. What level of sin is adultery?
Okay. All right. Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, does God look at sins in levels? It's interesting that we want to go there. We're used to categorizing and labeling people's sins and saying that one is worse than another. I would say that that is only true in regard to the consequences, the earthly consequences that we experience. I mean, think about that. You hit somebody across the face. Well, you could end up in a lawsuit. You could end up in prison eventually for some sort of aggravated assault. You name it. There's earthly consequences to that sort of violence. They might even hit you back. Now, if you just call someone an insulting term, most likely you're not going to prison. But they might call you something back. They might hit you. So, you know, there's levels of earthly consequences, just like when you commit a crime. I mean, if you go over the speed limit, you're going to owe $50 or $200. And then if you crash your car into someone and while you're drinking too much, let's say, and they pass away, well, the earthly consequences for that are much greater. So it's clear that there's a difference in the level of earthly consequence. But as far as sin itself, sin is sin is sin. And when you look in Matthew 5, for example, Jesus says that if you look at someone with lust, then it's the same as committing adultery. He says that if you get angry with someone, it's the same as murder. So what does that tell you? Well, it sounds like sin is sin is sin. Now, we could talk about the Apostle Paul and his reference to sinning against our own body. With sexual sin, it's a sin against your own body. Is that a different level? No, again, it's just a different impact. I mean, there you are sinning against yourself, not sinning against someone else only, but sinning against yourself and mistreating the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're sinning against your own body. So definitely there are different earthly consequences. Definitely there are different emotional and physical impacts on yourself and other people. But as far as how God looks at it, he's not looking at levels of sin. He is looking at spiritual death. And he says, you need life. So to an unbeliever, he's not saying, oh man, you, my friend, are sinning on a level 7. Next, well, you are only sinning on a level 4. Oh, and you over there, you're sinning on a level 9. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is we're dead. You're dead, the other guy's dead, and the third guy's dead, and we all need life. So it's not about our sinning as much as it is about our spiritual death, our self being dead to God and addicted to sin. So, you know, when Jesus takes away our sins, he's not thinking of levels either. He says, your sins and lawless acts, I remember no more. It's total forgiveness, past, present, future. Your frequent sins are forgiven. Your occasional sins are forgiven. What you believe are your big sins or your small sins, they're all forgiven. They're all taken away. They're all remembered no more. They're not brought up at the final judgment because Jesus took all the punishment, all the payment, all the judgment fell upon him. And the wages of sin is death. Jesus died. So do the math and celebrate. You're free. If you're in Christ, you're a totally forgiven person. But there are earthly consequences to sin, no question. So I hope that helps you, Bob, as you think about sin, rather than seeing it as levels of sin, instead seeing it as a spiritual death issue and recognizing that. Now, as far as the second question you had, my friend, you know, what we see in terms of someone who's attending church, well, they're attending every Sunday for a month, a year, a decade, 5 decades, and then they commit adultery on Monday, as you put it. Well, I would chalk that up to the same old situation, church or no church. We have to come to grips with the fact that we don't know who's saved and we don't know who's lost. So if they're a lost person, we would say, well, there it is, another flavor of sin from a lost person. End of story. Nothing to contemplate. But if they're a saved person, I guess you could say, there's another saint. There goes another saint, holy, righteous, blameless, but miserable, making a choice that doesn't fit their new heart, making a choice that doesn't fit their new nature, making a choice that doesn't fit their identity in Christ, making a choice that goes against their spiritual passions and desires, because they are now united with Christ and they are acting like the world when they are not the world. And so there will be a conflict in that person. There will be earthly consequences for that person. But if they are in Christ, they are in Christ. We're not saved by our sexual behavior. We're saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ. So that's why he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, nobody can snatch you out of my hand, but you can quench the spirit, you can grieve the spirit, you can be miserable, going, miserable man that I am, I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do, who will rescue me? I mean, you can be that guy, you can make those choices, you can be a totally saved and totally miserable person for a time if you choose to act like someone that you're not. Those are my thoughts, my friend. That's why we got to count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, choose dependency on Jesus, and discover, whoa, this is the fulfilling life. Whoa, this is the life that Jesus designed me for. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, well, let's go out to Toronto, Canada now. We'll talk with Yvonne. Hey, Yvonne, I heard you got a political question. We're not really a political show, but we'll see how it goes.
I know you're not a political show, but I'm pro-life, and I agree with the demonstration. But what I don't understand is why don't they demonstrate at the camp where the children are separated from their parents? That is one thing I would like to see, children united with the parent. And second question is the undocumented children that came into the U.S. when they were babies and now they're teenagers and adults and still haven't got this status. Why aren't we demonstrating about these things? If we are so sympathetic to abortion and children, we should be sympathetic
sure.
to these cause.
Okay. Why aren't we demonstrating? And I assume that calling into a Christian station and calling into a Christian radio program, you mean by we, the body of Christ. Why aren't we? Well, let me try to answer that, because we, as believers, we don't all think the same. We don't all think the same about politics. There are some people in Christ who are Republican. There are some people in Christ who are Democrat. There are some people in Christ who are Canadian, much like yourself, calling from Toronto. There are some people in Christ who don't live in North America at all. And so a difference in political opinion is going to exist naturally. And we can't expect every single person in Christ all over the planet to think the same about American politics. American politics has been around for about 200 years, and the gospel has been around for more than 2,000 years. And so opinions are diverse, and one person says, oh, we've got to rescue all the people coming into this country. We got to pay for them. We got to feed them. We got to clothe them. And another Christian says, oh, hang on just a minute. That sounds a little bit far-fetched and a little bit too quick. Can we look at the budget on that when we end up having to pay for hundreds of millions of people? Is it going to be affordable? Is it going to bankrupt us? Oh, by the way, where are they going to live? And how are they going to afford to live? And how can we get them all jobs? And what can we do for them? And what is realistic and what isn't? So, you know, I just think this sort of thing doesn't belong on a Christian talk show, to be candid. I think it's going to find that believers are on both sides of the fence. And, well, that's not the purpose of this broadcast. I don't think there are pat answers. There are difficult questions that require number crunching and arguing on both sides for how much we can do and how much we can't do. And the bottom line is, can we just be honest for a minute here, Yvonne? I mean, every 4 years or every 8 years, someone new comes into office and everybody's jazzed on one side or the other. Oh, this is the savior. Oh, this is the one. This one's really going to do it, revolutionize everything, and the results are going to endure. And then 4 or 8 years later, all the policies get flipped or adjusted or reversed, and half the country's upset again. What do we take away from that? Our hope is not in Washington, D.C. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. I was talking to a guy today, speaking of taking care of children. He was talking about Compassion International and World Vision and those ministries, and I mean, Christians are taking care of children all over the planet, outside of American politics, outside of governmental decisions. I mean, we're deciding to live from the heart and give from the heart and reach out and help children. Millions of children are being helped by those organizations, for example. We can't expect a Washington filled with unbelievers. We can't expect a nation that is largely not in Jesus Christ. There are more unbelievers than believers. We can't expect them to agree with us on everything. We can't even expect the church itself to agree about political stuff. But if we have such a heart for this, if you do, Yvonne, if other people out there do, then how about, well, consider adopting a child. Consider adopting someone by supporting them through Compassion International. Consider reaching out and helping children who do need that meal and that clothing and that shelter. And those sort of organizations, I mean, they're readily available and they make their needs known. So there's an idea without any political fight involved. Those are my thoughts, Yvonne. Maybe it'll satisfy, but I just think we're going to be debating this stuff for the next century, and there's always going to be two sides in the USA. One side saying, let's pay for everything. The other side saying, whoa, 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 let's not get bankrupt here. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's talk this through. And so there you have it. Appreciate your call tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. Well, it's been an interesting broadcast tonight. I've enjoyed the questions. They've been a lot of fun. Some different questions tonight for sure. And I hope you'll tune in tomorrow night at this very same time as we look at things from a grace perspective, trusting that Jesus Christ and His grace under the new covenant, having given us a new heart and a new identity and a total forgiveness, a status of purity before Him, well, it starts to affect the way we think and the way we act and the way we process information, the perspective that we have on the world around us and the perspective we have on God and ourselves. Just a reminder, if you're wanting a heavy dose of this message of God's grace, this new book has come out. It's called Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. It is on Amazon now. It just released a few days ago. People all over the United States and in Canada and beyond are getting their copies this week. The book is released. You can get your copy at Amazon.com. Again, the title, Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. Is God ever going to say, depart from me? Is He ever going to spew you out of His mouth or delete you from the book of life? We can be petrified about these things, wondering if we're saved, wondering if we're still saved, wondering if we've fallen from grace, wondering if we've lost our salvation, wondering if God is done with us. Well, you know what? God is not done with you. There is a beautiful message of God's grace that every believer needs to know. And in this book, Twisted Scripture, you will get encouraged in the grace of God. So get your copy today on Amazon.com. Well, folks, we're nearing the end of the broadcast, and I just want to remind you that we are listener-supported. And if you like what we're doing, if you like the perspective that you hear, if you notice that it's different from a lot of the stuff out there, and you are for it and want to support it and help make it happen, well, we could use your help. You know, we need monthly partners. More and more partners enable us to reach even more people with the message of God's love and forgiveness and grace. So consider supporting the broadcast. How can you do it? Well, you just go to our website and it takes a couple of minutes. That's andrewfarley.org, andrewfarley.org. Click on the donate tab there and it'll take just a couple of minutes to partner with us, whether it's $5 a month or $50 a month. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart, it would mean the world to me if you decided to partner with us. We are presented with opportunities every single month to add new stations, add new media, and reach more people around the world. You can help us do it. Go to our website, andrewfarley.org, click on the donate tab there, and help us reach more people.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.